Welcome to Good Sex. I love it when I talk.
Welcome. It's a good. That's like a post-secret confession. Just sending a postcard. I love it when I talk.
Welcome to Good Sex. Hello and welcome to Good Sex, Bad Sex, a podcast from metro.co.uk.
It's a bit like too many chocolates at Valentine's. It'll make you sick.
My name.
Probably a drop of the old diabetes, is it?
I think I might have it.
Do you need a toilet a lot?
Is that a sign?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, thirsty, need a toilet.
Wee wee.
I think I'm the one with diabetes.
My name is Dr. Bebe Lynch.
And I'm Nurse Miranda Kane.
And coming up is, this is a woman I've wanted to meet for years and years and years. You know Shush?
Oh, yes.
You know
Friendo
Shush.
Show.
Friendo
Shush.
Show, Shush.
The shop, the Shush.
Shush, Shush, Shush. The first women's sex emporium in the world. I'm going to say in the world. And it's Kai Hoyle, who's the founder, and I can't wait because that store is revolutionary still 20 years after it was created.
Mm.
Can you create a store?
Me?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Can one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe many people have done it in the past.
Hi, I'm Kai, founder of Shush, the UK's first ever women's sex shop.
Miranda,
yes.
When did you first encounter Shush?
When I first moved to London,
yeah.
And there were whispers of this women's only shop in Shoreditch.
Yeah.
And so I went, and it was nice to know that it was all female friendly, you know, especially because I needed a strap on at the time. So one of the things that drew me to it was they were like,
do you actually have a strap on?
Yeah, I bought my first strap on from Shush.
You bought your first?
Yeah.
Why did you need a second?
Wore it out, love.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm sure Kai will remember you. Kai Hoyle, founder of the first ever women's sex shop and the most amazing store, Shush.
Yay!
It's so lovely to meet you.
Round of applause.
You. We're such huge fans of Shush. And so when did you first go there?
I went there about 10, 15 years ago,
right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I do remember buying my first ever strap-on from Shush.
Oh, good. Well, so, we make them, of course.
Yes, yeah.
And we started making them because all the other ones were bloody awful at that time.
Yeah.
You know, when we first started, we started making strap-ons about a year after we actually opened in 92.
Oh,
because we went, you know, trying to find decent strap-ons was impossible.
What was wrong with the existing strap-ons?
They all looked like huge, great, big 12 inches of throbbing Mr. Big dong, dong. Awful. You know, that all of them were this realistic
terrifying
thing. And one of our biggest policy is that we don't sell anything that's meant to be realistic.
Mm. Mm.
You know, any kind of decapitated part of a person.
and as romantic as that is.
Yeah. But it's teaching people really kind of weird, especially, I mean, particularly men. I mean, we focus on women, so we're not, you know. But one of the things I've always said is I'd really love to start a Shush for men. Because if I was a man, I would be furious about how the sex industry, I'm putting air quotes on there, how they kind of view my sexuality as a man, because I'm kind of basically a Neanderthal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With no kind of, sensuality or imagination. I essentially just want a torch with some pussy lips, porn pussy lips, that to stick my dick into. That's basically how they see male sexuality. And it's
got to do this.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Miranda's got some spare money.
Okay. I'm tapping you, Miranda.
Come on.
Oh, I've got another thing for Miranda to invest in.
Oh,
that's the next step.
So I first went to Shush. I used to work at Strong Room on Curtin Road.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I was at Shoreditch. Late 80s, early 90s. And so you opened in 92.
Uh-huh.
And so I I think I was one of your first visitors. And we thought it was magical.
Oh, wow.
We couldn't believe it. Wow. And we felt kind of, we were young enough to think it was naughty and kind of get off on that side of it as well. But then go inside and just felt very safe and very comfortable. And it's just amazing. So Miranda, Kai opened the store in the early 90s on just £700. Which is incredible.
That's amazing.
English pounds. And that was on at a time. at a time when there's the AIDS crisis and Section 28. Yeah.
That was a massive kind of impetus.
Was it?
It was, because it was sort of, there I go, a young liberated woman. Mm. And my mum was kind of quite feminist. So I'd been brought up in this very egalitarian sort of household where we could express stuff. You know, and I go, I'm in Soho and I have a couple of glasses of wine and think, oh, I'll just go and see if I'll just go and have a mooch.
Yeah.
And this was within this atmosphere of Section 28. So it was really kind of anti sort of sexuality and actually, talking about sexuality. I mean, Section 28 was about making it illegal to promote homosexual lifestyles in local authorities and schools. But, you know, anybody who was savvy was seeing that as being a hugely kind of an incredibly dangerous law to pass. So there were marches, everybody was up in it. It was a really political time. And then, of course, the AIDS crisis was on, literally at the same time. And so the amount of homophobic hatred and misinformation, I better not mention actual newspaper names.
Oh, no, go given for it.
Well, but they all were doing it. They were all saying you can catch it from toilet seats. Yeah. Don't go to the London theatres because they're basic queer kind of sex baths of sodomy and Gomorrah. Just absolutely awful hatred going on. And I go, all swinging, thinking, oh, I'll just go and explore my sexuality. And it was just awful experience, really alienating, really intimidating. What was really interesting in a really intimidating way was, as a woman on your own in one of those sex shops, all the men who were there just would come and just talk, like literally sidle up to you and be touching, their bodies touching you. But, we kind of just went in and out of it because I just thought this can't be happening. This is 20 years, hang on, I'm not very good at maths. But it's a long, long time since, feminism and,
sexual revolution.
Exactly.
Sex positive. It was all totally sex negative.
It was totally focused on men. Yeah. Utterly, 100% focused on men. The men in the shops felt like it was okay. As a woman in one of those shops, you were definitely fair game for any kind of... I mean, you had to run the gamut of porn and, Razzler magazines and Reader's Wives magazines. Yeah. And then you kind of step further back and it was all, incredibly horrible, scratchy underwear. And the vibrators that were there were all kind of like they were the crown jewels, very dusty crown jewels, I have to say, all under glass. So I remember saying, can I see what that one is? And can I feel it vibrate? And the guy pretty much fell over in astonishment. He couldn't believe that anybody had actually asked something practical of him, because clearly people just, ran in and grabbed things and ran out. Whenever I say sex industry, I'm always going to put air quotes on it because it's a very general term. But I use it in to define that kind of thing, because that thing. I think it still exists, but it's just maybe in different kind of forms. But it's essentially it's using your kind of embarrassment or intimidation or lack of knowledge to, extract as many pounds from you with these promises of orgasmic delight all night long, or this thing will guarantee an orgasm, or you can't live without it. It's like a lot of selling.
Because we interview so many people, we're always in a kind of world of thinking everyone's very liberal and everything's kind of no need for air quotes around sex industry.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you're saying, there is outside of this bubble we're in, I guess.
I still feel it does exist. It's just sort of changed somewhat, and that's one of our kind of things. I drag out my soapbox on this thing because it's it's as important not to kind of make women feel pressured that they must have a, you know, a hugely overflowing toy box, that they must be swinging from every single chandelier. And if they haven't tried this, 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 and this, then they're basically repressed. Yeah. You know, it's about, you know, liberation is about, you know, exploring what you want to explore. Mm. It is not about a checkbox, is it? About, oh, I've done that, that, that. That makes me incredibly, it's, you know.
I always think of 50 Shades of Grey because of the whole, like, Mr. Grey toy room sort of thing situation where it's like, oh, if you're into BDSM and bondage, then you must have a playroom like this. Yeah. And it's like, no, because domination is more about confidence and power play. And
absolutely.
You can dominate someone without having a room like that.
Absolutely. And that can be one of the sort of sexiest things, you know, because, you know, the brain is the biggest sex organ, isn't it? Don't you mean, isn't it? So, you know, it, all these things are just toys on top of them, top of that, if you want to explore that. But, you know, it, what's really important that we don't kind of think, especially as women, do you know what I mean? We're already pressurized to have the, you know, I don't know, gorgeous Prada shoes and a gorgeous whatever bag. Yeah. And now we have to have some sort of 18 carat Lala to put in the Prada bag. It's kind of like, hang on a minute, you know.
Having the idea though in your 20s to kind of go, yeah, this is what I think's needed, there's a gap in the market, to actually doing it is a whole different thing.
How did that happen? Like,
basically, well, you can tell I do get on soapboxes, and I just was so aghast by this experience. So, and I just clearly couldn't stop banging on about it. You know, I was banging on about it to some friends one day, and they clearly got just sick of me and just said, well, why don't you open one? And I went, right, I will do. And literally did. You know, we found a shop in Hoxton on Coronet Street that was £80 a week. £80 a week. Used to have to pay the rent in cash to the landlord who'd come around in his Ferrari. It's a film. There's a film there, isn't there? Do you know what I mean? Visually, it's kind of like...
And was there a ding-dong doorbell? I remember
there was
that.
A ding-dong doorbell, yes, because our policy for a long, long time was men welcome as guests of women. So you had to ring the doorbell. I don't know if you remember our very wobbly display shelves that we'd essentially robbed from the back of a big DIY. I mean, they were throwing them out. I mean, you know, it wasn't, we didn't, you know, they were, we recycled them.
But you would have had no idea. I mean, how would you have known where to have got stock from or anything like that?
Well, that was, I actually can't believe the brass neck of it. Of what I did, because I then went back to Soho and went, right, I'm thinking of opening a women's sex shop. Can you tell me all your suppliers, please? Now, you know, it takes a long time to, you know, we wouldn't give out that information so freely. But of course, a lot of those shops were run by the porn barons, essentially, who were bringing in porn and toys. And so my first contact was for an East End warehouse that was full of bloody awful toys. I used to go with they had a Tesco shopping trolley. We had to mooch up and down these shelves. And the thing about that always really struck me was, because they were all staffed by guys, of course, you know, and they all had page three, or, you know, stuck up where they were packing these stuff to, you know, to send out mail order. Well, this is before the internet, of course. And they'd always go, all right, mate. And it was, to me, it was really obvious that a woman in that environment had to become a mate.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I would put a lot of money on outside. I'd have been a darling. Definitely, you know, but within this kind of context, they couldn't quite cope with me being a darling. So I became a mate. All right, mate.
That's lovely in its own way. Yeah, yeah. That's kind of cool. Yeah. So what was your big seller when you started? What was the kind of really popular as opposed to now?
Well, the first really big one was Rabbit, because in that warehouse, I discovered this pink sweetie ball machine looking thing. It was right at the back. There was about six of them covered in dust. and I was like, oh my God, it's pink, you know, because I was honed then to kind of try and find anything that wasn't this awful flesh colour or
with the
black.
Little veins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I could just spot stuff. And it was called Roger Rabbit.
Roger Rabbit.
So
I'll pack it.
Well, of course, but I might have to take tasked with that, because although it's funny, it's also kind of like, you know, it's like Rogering, you know, it's kind of like really carry on ish, isn't it? So I got those six. Took them home gleefully. I thought, and tested them. Friends tested them. We were like, oh my God, holy hell, this is amazing. So we renamed it Jessica Rabbit.
Oh, nice.
So we were the first, we named Jessica Rabbit. You know, the one great thing about what was happening was, you know, people like Cosmo and the women's magazines, they would never... We were the first kind of company to get
press,
that in.
You were getting it.
Yeah, we got press because we were so women focused.
Yeah,
you know, they weren't doing that before.
Do you know something? I'm just thinking. I think one of my first ever published pieces. I think I did something about Shush for the Standard.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that funny? It's something I suddenly remember.
We our press box.
That's so. That would have been like.
Well, I'll dig
when
it
you
out.
When you first opened.
Yeah. Oh, we had a huge.
My God,
amount
I remember
of,
that now.
Huge amount of press when we first opened. We, you know, it was our poor friends coming down and buying something every Friday to better go and support them. And then the press heard about it. And I opened the door to more journalists than customers for about 6 months.
If you're looking at all these warehouses and the only thing you can find is one toy that isn't this phallic, veiny throbber. Is that a good word? I don't know. But so what happened with the...
So, we knew that it was possible to make silicone dildos because they were being made in the States. Because, the mother of all women's shops is Good Vibrations, of course, you know, in San Francisco. They've been going since 73. Yeah. So they really are. They're the godmother, the dom, you know, don.
Yeah.
Dom.
Both.
Both, really. Yeah. So we knew kind of from them and from that kind of scene that it's possible to make them, and it was always little artisan makers making these toys.
Yeah.
And of course, silicone is, you know, the best thing for sex toys. But it's we also found it was bloody hard to work with because it's very very sensitive. Is silicone very very? I'm too hot. If I'm too hot, it starts going off before you've even poured it into the dildo. So you've got kind of dog toys forming before you've got a sex toy. And the other thing, if it's too cold, is silicone, it never sets at all. So we had to do all these experiments about how to actually make it properly in the right kind of weather conditions to
was the workshop in the shop.
It was downstairs in the basement.
That's
lower
amazing.
Ground floor.
Yeah. And there's one thing having an ethos about what you want your store to stand for and the toys to represent to making something that works. Making something that's that people want to buy.
Inventing something.
Yeah, you're inventing. Yeah. Did you ever make a mistake?
Oh well, yeah, God, yes. There were some dodgy ones, I'll have to say. And of course we did a dolphin one at one point, you know, very
nice.
Very kind of standardy thing. So they have evolved. The designs have evolved. And the designs I did on my breakfast bar after work because I was I went to art school, you know, before I did all this. So there's I haven't got any business background. It's all art background. So I got my clay out and started, I don't know, designing dildos.
And your friends were all supportive. Was anyone shocked that you were doing this?
No, God, no, 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 no. Because the thing about the 90s as well was, that it's just such an interesting decade, I suppose, because there was all that happening, all the whole kind of, hatred around the whole AIDS crisis and, you know, the homophobia around that and in Section 28. But on the other side of the coin, you had Madonna doing Blonde Ambition and masturbating on stage.
And Ladettes.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Like, you know, it was our first kind of like, oh, we can do what the lads
do.
Yeah.
And the other, and the rave culture, of course.
Yeah.
Ecstasy was, I think, a massive kind of turning point for sexuality because, you'd have all these straight lads.
Yeah.
Suddenly like, oh, I fancy my best mate, you know. Oh, you're lovely. You know what I mean? And it just kind of... it kind of altered people's perception of what attraction could be. I think it was like one of the first stepping stones to that, you know.
How do you think attitudes to women's sexuality have changed since you opened Shush to now?
Oh, well, huge, isn't it? Absolutely hugely. And it's because of the, you know, the internet and social media. You know, there's so much positivity and permission around.
P&P.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a fabulous thing around kind of, you know, stripping away ideals of perfection of, you know, what a vulva should look like. You know, yeah. I mean, you know, essentially before social media, the only kind of references a lot of us had was porn. And that's not... that's not real, is it? You know what I mean? They've all had often nips and tucks and baldness and, you know.
And and there was all the shame and stigma around, you know.
Yeah. So there's so many kind of great things happening, you know, that's just kind of free the nipple, you know.
Free the nipple.
You know,
free the nipple.
Yeah, like, you know, being able to have your nipple out and without being censored, like on social media.
Oh, I see. Well, not like now.
No.
Well,
so
we
put
can
them away.
Sorry, so I was trying to type and talk to the same time.
All their stock was stolen.
Was it?
Oh yeah, all lost.
When was that?
Sorry. I'm kind of huffing at a very sort of dodgy memory. You know what? I'm really bad on when it was. It was probably about 10, 12 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Because at that point we had quite a big warehouse. And we came in one day. And it was like that. What? And literally the whole of the warehouse that had been, they'd been ram raided.
Hey.
We just were walking around going, what the? So yeah, absolutely all of the stock, including all our own products. So we were like, you know, we searched a lot online for them because we don't, you know, you can only get them through Shush. So it's not something there was far too many to go, you know, take them down the pub and flog them. Do you want to buy a dildo, mate? You know, never found out. But the CID, CID who came to, you know, do for fingerprints. Oh, we had the best day with them. It's two women as well. We were like that. Yes, girls, come on.
And they became loyal customers ever since.
Uh-huh. I think they may already have been customers.
And now you've gone from creating sex toys and selling sex toys to your own events.
Oh yeah, we started doing classes in about 2002. For, you know, again, the first kind of company to do that. You know, we do classes, and we run them sort of regularly, and we write new ones and all that sort of stuff. And we often find we've had spies in our classes as well. Yeah, what are they called? What is it? I can't think of the word. You know, commercial. Basically, competitor spies.
Oh,
well, yeah.
No.
Oh well. Oh, well, you met Renee before. Oh. She can sniff out a competitor.
Right,
yeah,
now.
She will, wouldn't she?
Got
yeah.
Smell, Luke. Yeah, got her there.
So yeah, we do classes, but. We moved recently from our place in Coronet Street and we're now in Pitfield Street and we're part of a cafe, which is great. Yeah. I think it's really great because, you know, whilst, you know, we were talking about how things have changed, you know, this kind of deep-seated sort of insecurity, embarrassment, lack of permission women have, it's not going to change in an instant. It's not going to change in a couple of years. Do you know what I mean? We've had all these influences for millennia. Really, this whole idea of, you know, Madonna and whore, if it's Christian, or, you know, there's all sorts of things. So I don't think, you know, we're just going to go, I know we're not actually, because, you know, I've always kind of said this, that if, you know, I've done this day in, day out for, you know, 28 years nearly. But if you were to send me to the corner shop and ask me to, you know, pick up, go and get Razzler from the top shelf, our local corner shop still does have Razzler on top shelf, which I can't believe. But if you were to do that, I feel like I'd still have to go, oh, it's for work, qualify it, rather than, I think it's, you know, and it's to me, that's kind of quite interesting. Yeah. You know, I mean, of course I would do it and I could make myself do it, but I feel like even with this amount of experience behind me, I would, you know, I would feel in some way a bit, like I need to qualify
it. But you're changing all this. I'd imagine having something like, I mean, honestly, the store is like legend and it's such a brilliant place. And yeah, I think it's a great idea that through a cafe now as well, it kind of opens up in a different way as well. There must be a real joy in it. You must have helped people through situations Do you feel your customers have changed their attitudes?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, because it's tough. You know, running a business is tough and it can get draining and, you know, you're knackered and you're like, oh, God, can I just leave me alone? Leave me alone, you know, just want a break from it. But then, you know, every week we have these kind of experiences where we're just like blown away by what the customer is telling us. You know what I mean? So,
do you find you get quite a confessional?
God, yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
What kind of things do people? Oh, I mean, you don't have to.
Yeah.
Know.
Well, no. There's all sorts of things. You know, there was a woman who came in. She had a list of toys. And she went, you know, and she was like, right, I want a butt plug and a da 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 and a vibrator and I want some toy, you know. And we were like, they just didn't quite taste right, you know, and it was kind of like, have a cup of tea, you know, let's just chill out here a bit. And it transpired that her husband had given her this list, just a bit, you know, a bit more sort of chatting and a bit more sort of relaxing. It then sort of transpired that her husband was saying that she, you know, she didn't excite him anymore and he wanted her to turn up with Lala, you know, all sorts of things, you know, turn up at the office in a Mac and, you know, she had a baby, you know, in a pushchair. Sorry, but this isn't a, you know, but essentially it was kind of like, we were like, well, what do you want? And this is after a while. This isn't just straight in, because you have to kind of, you know, the whole kind of, what we have is 28 years of understanding how to talk to sort of each individual woman and what they're sort of showing us they want to, you know, what kind of experience they want. Yeah. So, we, you know, how we ask questions of, you know, is very different to each person, and we'll listen to what you're talking about. You know, how you talk to us will be different to how you talk to us. Yeah. You know, we can, and then we temper it all. So, you know, this is, you know, we're bringing all this kind of body language knowledge into this and making this a very comfortable situation. So, you know, eventually we're like, well, what do you want? And she went, well, I just want to cuddle. You know, I've got a baby here and I've got a toddler in, you know, in preschool. Oh. We were like, well, okay, well, tell you what, come back with the list another day. Why don't you, you know, go and talk to him and tell him what you want? So yeah, some really, we had a great sort of response back. We got this great card and she was just empowered by it.
Oh, what did she say on the card?
Oh, I feel like I shouldn't be saying it. Oh, but, you know, she you know, yes, she'd basically had the, got the strength to kind of, to basically challenge him. And she just was like, thank you.
Good.
You know. Yeah.
Can I ask about penetration?
Of course you can.
When did toys move from penetration? When did they become more from
clitoral?
My perception now is they're more
clitoral.
Stop saying clitoral.
Clitoral.
They're as out as in.
Yeah.
Well, they need to be, don't they? They definitely need to be. Well, I think again, without blowing our own trumpet, I think Shush was very instrumental in that.
By the way.
Hey? Yeah.
Blow your trumpet.
Let's see if it exists already. You never know. I think Shush was quite instrumental with that. Because what happened was, you know, we got all this press and it was really aghast. It was like a sex shop, you know, for women. It was really like, it was all positive, but nobody could actually really believe there was this market. And then they realized that there was a market, and they realized that these are all the manufacturers, that actually, because we were getting them into Cosmo and you know, other women's magazines, it was kind of like, oh my God, this is a whole untapped market. And then they were coming to us, you know, and saying, what is it that women want? You know, I remember Lalo came as one of the, it's one of the biggest sex toy manufacturers going. They came before they started and came to talk to us about what women want. And we said clitoral. We don't want to look like dicks.
Yeah.
And most importantly, what we need to do is get away from this idea that, you know, you put something inside yourself to come, because 75% of us don't come that way. Yeah. And we need to, you know, we need to recognize that the clitoris is, you know, the absolute core of most women's pleasure.
Speaking of women's pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
What you got coming up for Valentine's Day?
Hey! Oh, well, yeah.
Miranda has been on Segway fire. today, haven't you?
Thank you very much. Wow. That is just one of your easy, better ways to say you love me. Call back. Call back last week. No, I'm sorry, Kai.
No, it's all right. I can take a left-hand turn. So, yeah, Valentine's huge. You know, it's our biggest yes. day, you know, day of the year. It's one of the, you know, it's the peak of sales.
Give us some inspiration of what we can try out, either alone with someone else.
I mean, you've seen all the suction toys, have you? There's a fabulous one called the Penguin. We love it.
The Penguin.
It looks like a suction toy. So it's a new technology where it sits. It basically doesn't vibrate, but it sucks, forms a vacuum on your clit.
Womanizer have been doing that.
Yes, Womanizer and Satisfyer. Yes. They're brilliant. I mean, they are brilliant.
Is that the new? Is that the new wave?
That's the most latest technology. Yeah.
There's a lot of remote smart stuff.
Yes, and they're fun. Yeah. They're fun, but. Yeah. And they're fun to play with a partner.
Yeah. But definitely. For actual sensation.
But for actual kind of, you know, treat yourself, you want a different kind of orgasm. Yeah. I mean, the biggest problem, if you could call it a problem, is that they are very efficient. You need to... fabulous for a real quickie, but, you know, if you really want to kind of build it up and have a little date night with yourself...
Could you use a dustbuster?
I think you might lose yours off. Yeah. And your lips and most of them.
Have
a little prolapse.
So there's suction.
Yes.
What's the Penguin?
Oh, the Penguin is one of the suction toys. It's just so cute. It's got a little bow tie on. We just love it. It's just a little cute little, you know, toy. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where are your strap-ons now? Because Miranda, are you still in the market for a new one?
Yeah.
Come to the new shop because we now have we've got a dildo lab.
Yes.
Oh, it's fabulous! So you can watch the dildos being made.
Do you make your own? Do you make because for
the
me
harnesses.
It's the harnesses.
Yeah, yeah, that we can make one for you.
Oh, yeah,
there
definitely.
We go.
So
oh,
what
yeah, definitely.
Do you have? What colour? Oh, I'll go for black.
Really?
It hides all the stains.
Cracked.
There's something always so romantic. Talking about Valentine's romance. That was adorable. Do you know what I love as well? That you're not only kind of changing the face, if that's the right word, of the toys and the kind of stuff that's there. I think you're also seeing and giving people the option and to develop this, that good sex, sexual health, sexual well-being isn't just about toys. It's about the brain as well. Yeah. So the classes tie in with so beautifully, don't they?
Yeah, well, that's it. It's you know, sexual well-being and empowerment.
Yeah.
And all these things are kind of roots to that.
And some techniques and some toys.
And yes, exactly. And it's not part, you know, there's no one thing that kind of...
So you've got orgasm
journey,
classes.
We've got orgasm classes, blow his mind classes. Blow his mind.
What if he's stupid already?
I bet they do.
Blow his mind. Bondage.
Bondage, bedroom bondage. We're doing a special bedroom bondage class for couples. So alternative date, Valentine's date
That's
night.
Good. Oh,
it's fun, isn't it? Yeah. So, you know, it'll be a bottle of champagne on each, you know, a table each, bottle of champagne, some truffles.
So we let men in now for classes.
It's a couples class. Yeah. And men are welcome anyway. We used to have the policy of men welcome as guests for a long, long time because we were just trying to level the playing field, essentially, and make sure no woman ever walked in and there was a whole, you know, gang of city geezers in there.
Lads, or the Dirty Mac Brigade. Yeah.
We still get men kind of like knocking, is it okay if I come in? Oh. Like that. Yeah, come on, you can come. You know, because we're now so famous for being, you know, female, women focused and, you know, elevating female sexuality. Mm. So the guys who choose to come to Shush are the ones who are really savvy, I think.
Page.
Yeah, and they really, you know, they value their women's pleasure.
What would your aim for Shush be, even now?
Oh, God, there's the next step is an app.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah. So we're working on that at the minute. And that's why I was up at 3 a.m. last night, because my head is absolutely whirling. I've got so many ideas about it. You know, it's not just going to be a, you know, it's not about the toys. It's not, as you say, it's not about the classes or the events. It's about this feeling of empowerment and, you know.
What about multinational? Like, would you open more stores?
Well, maybe. I mean,
is it a personal thing for you? Like,
I think the store is super important, really, really important, because it's, you know, like that woman, and you know, there's been, like I say, it happens, you know, almost every day. You know, we've had a woman in who brought her special needs daughter in. We've had women bringing in their teenage daughters, which I think is fabulous, because, you know, what they're doing is actually, you know, giving them, saying it's okay, permission to explore their sexuality, rather than,
and
you know,
you've had cancer survivors.
Yes,
had like awful sexual experiences.
Well, we started Cafe V with my Body Back project, because, you know, 1 in 4 women are, you know, survivors of sexual assault. You know, it's important to, you know, do all the fabulous, sex is fabulous, sex is fun, sex is, you know, all around self-esteem, but there are issues around sex. You know, 1 in 4 women are survivors of sexual assault. Mm-hmm. You know, sex after cancer can be really, you know, tricky. And sex for older women, you know, we were saying it's so much more liberated now, but there are still kind of great swathes of the population who are just ignored or laughed at. Do you know what I mean? You know, it's fine to say you're masturbating if you're young and slim and, you know, basically. But anybody outside of that, if you're older or a woman of colour or, you know, Muslim woman or, you know, then it becomes, oh God, you know, it becomes almost taboo again.
And I love
that. We've got to clear that.
So Kai's, we were lucky enough to read something that Kai had written. It was this really kind of great essay about how she started out. And there was a bit in it, you're saying that some women from some Middle Eastern countries kind of buy macaroon-shaped vibrators.
Well, we stock certain toys because, of course, you know, in certain countries, massively taboo, and if not illegal to actually take them through. So, you know, toys that actually look like other things, like lipsticks or macaroons, are fabulous for that. And we were clearly on some Saudi forum at one point. Saudi forum, which is fabulous. You know what I mean? Blood, spreading the word, absolutely, kind of, because they felt safe to come. And
you need to get on the United Emirates in flight magazine.
That would be great.
That would be
just testament. Next week, we should get Kai an OBE.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Do you want to do that?
Yeah.
We'll do that. Do you want an OBE?
Yes, please. I've been to Downing Street
before. But
I've been to the Palace. Into the palace.
Well, we'll sort that out.
Yeah, I did.
Why were you in Downing Street?
I was invited, and so I went to invited to a party.
Wow!
So
you just defended yourself in the way that you thought I'd asked you if you'd broken in. Invited.
No, I was invited. Well, the second bit of that was I took a prezi through, which I couldn't believe I got through the security.
So what did you take?
Prime Minister.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to tell you the Prime Minister, but I'll tell you what the toy was.
Yeah.
It was a little, and you might be able to then guess, it was a little vibrating red lipstick. I had to resist because the whole of the shush team were going, take a strap on. I was like, I'm not taking her a strap on.
I'm not taking her a strap on.
I'm sorry, she doesn't deserve a strap on, although she has fucked us all. Royally.
It wasn't that.
Oh, I know. Okay. Hilarious. And was that as a kind of entrepreneur?
No, it was an AIDS awareness event. And the best thing about it was I noticed, you know, as the person who was, you know, she was giving a speech, and then she said, "Oh, I've got to go," and exited left, and then suddenly ran across, picked up the shush bag, and ran back. I was like, "Yes."
That is so brilliant. Kai, thank you so much for joining us. And I know that it's a surprise, but I will tell our listeners, Kai's doing a good sex, bad sex range.
Oh! Yeah,
what? Yeah, she doesn't know. She hasn't told us. Oh, but it's going to be. It's
she doesn't
be,
know. She is.
She doesn't know yet. It's going to be something else. It's going to be something else. It doesn't. You can't fucking turn it off.
So all right, if she wants to make the Miranda Kane, or the BB Lynch,
we are made
for toys.
For sex toys.
Uh-huh. Thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Thanks very much to our guest, Kai Hoyle. That was amazing.
We got a gig.
I think we have.
Oh, I love getting a gig. How brilliant was that?
Oh, do you know what? That's so fascinating and inspiring.
Yeah, to have an idea and then hello.
And the fact, because I keep thinking of like, because I used to work for... I'll tell you this. I used to work for a couple of shops that it reminded me of. So one of them was Lush, in that same way that it just started off from a little shop and they had their own workshop. Yeah. And that was why I was asking about whether she was going to go multinational. Yeah. Because to my mind,
is Lush
just
multinational?
Yeah. Then it's, you know, Lush, the bath bombs.
Yes.
But it's, you know, whether she should have more. But the fact that she doesn't want to dilute it and just keep it that little intimate shop.
Well, all I'm thinking is Patisserie Valerie, which has been ruined. But you know what I mean? This little outlet's at Victoria Station or whatever. Yeah. I don't want that. I want the old Pat Val, old Compton Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think she's right to do that.
Yeah.
Really inspiring.
Yeah.
And I love that, you know, you're too young, but I was doing my bit around that time when she was doing that, and the Section 28 stuff was awful, and the AIDS crisis was, you know, was obviously incredibly awful, and everything was very negative and very scary.
Yeah.
So that's a real... It's... brilliant that in a time that everything was so negative, she did something so positive and did it.
Yeah.
And still doing it.
Yeah.
How hard must it be to have a private, you know, an indie...
in a little indie shop, keep going.
In London.
And keep expanding and doing events such as the next Good Sex Bad Sex Live, possibly.
Can't believe we're doing that. I'm so, what are you going to wear? Your strap on?
Yeah.
How lovely. How lovely.
I'm going to get her to make one for me.
My name's BB Lynch.
Black, so eyes the stains. And I'm Miranda Kane.
Oh my God, you are... Can I say something?
Yeah.
You've been very good today.
Oh, thank
you. No, you've been very... because usually you're pretty poor. But you have...
I seem to have improved by 10%.
And I'm BB Lynch. Good Sex, Bad Sex was produced by Juliet Nichols for metro.co.uk. Where's Sam Bonham?
I have hidden him. He's the man in your basement. Please get in touch with us on Twitter at Good Sex Bad Sex with the triple X at the end, or take a look at our Instagram, Good Sex Bad Sex without the triple X.
And if you have a sexy question or a query or something you'd like us to discuss on Good Sex Bad Sex, please get in touch. We'd love to hear your thoughts. info@sexpod.co.uk.
And we will see you next week.